higher, baby. You're in the right place. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Danny Miles, Lexi Brinkley, and we have Stephanie Toops in studio today, too.
So fun to be here.
Stephanie, my little light
Yay.
Beam. Well, Lexi is, too, but Danny, can you handle all these girls? Three
yeah,
against
he
one.
Can. He's like, what are you even talking about? I got this.
Yeah, Danny's got it. All right.
As usual.
And so it's the big game is over, and the New England Patriots won the big
what
game.
A fantastic, I mean, that,
oh my
what
gosh.
A nail biter. I mean, only at the end, but like, it was amazing.
I was sending them like energy. Down
energy
to
beam?
Houston.
Yeah.
I was in my house. My friend Ines came over with her husband. I made the eggplant parmesan.
Oh, that sounds so good.
It was so good. I made a huge restaurant pan of it and spaghetti with veggie balls, just like I said I was going to.
Yeah.
And but David didn't think they were going to come back. And so we kept arguing. I'm like, you'll see. You know, and I kept making them laugh by putting my arms out and sending them energy down to Houston. Like, come on, Tom, come on.
Well, and, you did it then. Wow, I thought it was. Was over too. I mean, I thought it was over.
Yeah. No, I didn't. I totally believed that they could come back. And David was saying, oh, you know, no one's ever come back after being down by two touchdowns. Then it was three. And I said, there's time on the clock. If they just manage the clock and Brady gets inside his own head. But there was one point where the camera was on him after I think he had thrown an interception. And when he came up, he had this look in his eyes. And I turned to David and I said, do you see
that's
that look?
It. Yeah, that's it.
They are coming back.
Yeah.
And he goes, you're crazy. I'm like, you watch.
He's
and they
an intense
did.
Guy. I
he
mean,
is.
I can't imagine being in his head for like 3 minutes. It's probably.
Well, you know, he's a huge floater. So he has.
I didn't know
he
that.
Has a float tank in his home. Yes, and I've already said this a couple of weeks ago, but over the holidays, one of the actual coaches or trainers for the New England Patriots said that they were putting I think 5 float tanks in the facility in Boston. So,
that is fantastic. I had not heard that. That is really awesome.
Well, yeah, in Ohio State football, all these you know, they have one at Valley Ranch, not Valley Ranch. Sorry, the new facility in Frisco, but for some reason it's kind of like a secret. I don't know.
I can't think of anything better because I even try to do this
a secret
like
now,
meditation
though, right?
And I can't, well, no, but like I can't turn it off. So the float tank, what a great way to be able to do that because it kind of forces you to do that. You
it's
know?
Like meditation for dummies.
Yeah, really.
But the magnesium is the part. Yeah, that's the big part for the physical. It
well,
totally relaxes your body.
Low on magnesium.
They
so,
are.
Yeah.
Absolutely they are. And that's one of the reasons that for a lot of the disease that we have in this country, heart disease can be prevented. And handled, I managed better
yes.
if you get proper amounts of magnesium because it calms everything down so your stress levels are lessened.
I need to go float.
You do need to go
Me
float.
Too.
Well, we're only going to be there for a couple more weeks. We're looking for a new location. So, and that's stressing me out. I need to float. But in the meantime, I'm putting a float tank in my house too. So I'll be floating in the middle of
that's
trying
fantastic.
To figure out where we're going next. But so, Danny, what did you think about the big game? You know, you're the football guy. I want to hear what you have to say.
What, Wisconsin?
Come on.
Wisconsin beat Indiana in basketball. That's the big game for me.
I know that you went to a party, so you didn't watch the game?
No, I did.
It was amazing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And what about Lady Gaga?
Yeah.
She is amazing. She's amazing.
Awesome.
She was awesome.
And there was no.
I just feel bad
wardrobe
for
malfunction.
All the Atlanta fans out there.
No,
that,
I do. I feel bad for
tough.
Them too.
That was a heartbreaker for them for
it
sure.
It was.
You're
it
right.
was. And. To get to go into overtime, they're part of that history.
Yeah.
The first time ever in the big game history. And so, yeah.
You can say Super Bowl.
Oh, I can? Can I say it to that?
You're not selling something.
Yeah. Okay, gotcha. Just selling myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is a stellar
What about the commercials?
I watched the commercials.
They
I was kind of busy.
Subpar.
I heard they weren't very good.
Well, it seems like every year they're subpar.
The Lumber Company one was meant to be very politically powerful. Uh-huh. What is it, HR Lumber, something like
that? Was
that
the one with the little
about?
Girl? I thought
yeah.
I saw a teaser
yeah.
for that this morning, and I haven't gotten a chance to watch it yet. But I heard that was one of the ones that was.
But you know what's funny is the Honda commercial was amazing, but I can't remember. I can't remember it. Do you remember the Honda commercial? I remember watching it and going, wow, that is that's awesome.
And now
and
you can't remember it?
I can't remember it. But I did drink a lot of wine last night.
Usually it's the other way around.
I know.
Usually
I know.
It's, wow, that that commercial was awesome.
Who
what
was
were
it?
They selling? Yeah.
I know. I'm gonna
I
have
liked
to...
the Mr. Clean commercial. That
oh,
one made
the
me
Mr.
Laugh.
Clean one. Well, yeah, with yeah. The, yeah, that was funny. Did you see that one?
I didn't see that one. Yeah.
It was just... funny.
I heard that one was. Those are the two I've heard: the lumber one and the Mr. Clean one. Yeah. So I'm gonna have to watch them.
That was like the only one that I was that stuck out.
I'm gonna have to figure out. I'm gonna have to find the Honda one and find out why I thought it was so fascinating. I just can't. I have like a blank there in my mind. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. I saw Coke one. I just was surprised at how much marketing's changed. I think marketing's just changed a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, people are more social media.
They were
media.
Some long ads. Yeah. That's the one thing I noticed. Or are they always that long, Danny? They were like a full 60 seconds.
Some are. Yeah. And then they'll do a condensed version now the rest of the way.
When they do them during the game, they're usually like that long one, and then they'll cut it down. Mm-hmm. You know, some of those Budweiser ones I remember.
It's
being.
Like $3-4 million, something like and that. Then, for it's a 30-second spot. So I can't imagine what a 60-second spot.
I remember the Bud Light one with the dog, and I thought it wasn't very well done. I don't know what artistically or creatively was off about that one, but I thought somebody.
Not
somebody
quite right.
was off. It wasn't right. There was something
Bring
I can't identify.
Back the
it,
Budweiser but, and, frogs.
Oh, the that was frogs.
Bud.
Why?
Oh my gosh! I drank just red wine last night with my Italian food.
Well, there you go. That's
and we had
good.
Green beans with lemon and butter, and we had the non-GMO Julian's.
Well, now that's a Super Bowl feast.
It was, and I made eggplant parmesan, and I'm pretty proud of myself. I knocked out a full restaurant pan from scratch, cutting my own eggplant and everything.
That's impressive.
Salting it, you know, pulling out the moisture and letting them set up before I, you know, breaded them and egged them and floured them.
Wow,
I
said that no all. Meat, huh?
No meat.
Wow.
No meat, Buster, but lots of good protein and yummy vegetables. And,
good for you. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. I had a DiGiorno pizza.
A DiGiorno
pizza? It's not delivery.
It's about it.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I buy my pizzas at Central Market because they carry pizzas that come straight from Italy. Uh-huh. And there's one brand.
Do, huh?
Yes. And I'm not kidding you. We had one with the kids. Nia had a sleepover Saturday night, and I got a couple at Central Market. You would think that I got them at an Italian pizzeria right in Italy.
I'll have
They're
to try
that
those.
Good. I'll have to take a picture of the actual brand because there's a couple of them.
Send that to me.
But
I'd
the one
it.
In particular, it was had so much sauce on it and the cheese. I swear to you. You put it in the oven, you pull it out, you would think it just got pulled out of a pizza oven in Italy. It was they're crazy good.
That's my favorite part is the sauce. I always order my pizzas with
extra sauce.
Ew, see, I'm not a big...
Oh, you're not a
sauce. I like
person?
The sauce, but if it's overly sauced, I'm like, blech.
Yeah.
I used to, when I was little, I would scrape everything off the pizza and just eat the bread.
Really? Mm-hmm. Well, and the reason I do that is because the flour's non-GMO if you get it from Italy, because the Italians, you know, they're not going to...
They do it better.
They don't
they're
mess
gonna
it
gonna
up.
Do it. Yeah, they're not playing that
God.
Game. They're not going to spoil their food and put GMOs in it. They're meticulous about food.
You know
and
what I
shoes,
heard this
and
morning?
Cars.
I heard this morning that the Monday after the Super Bowl is the most people call in sick out of the whole year.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I know. I tried to get my husband to not go to work today, and he's like, I can't do that on the day after Super Bowl. That's completely inappropriate. But then his office manager called in sick. I was like, see, everybody's doing it.
Wow. Wow.
I thought that was kind of cool.
I'm not surprised by that because
I know one thing. Anything produced out of Georgia this morning is pretty much pretty much.
I do feel bad for the. It's always hard for the other team. I should know. Okay, I'm a Buffalo Bills fan. I've lost many, many times. Yeah. Been there, done that. You know, and it's heartbreaking.
Yeah, but you got your ass kicked.
We did not.
Never
that
came.
Was just a.
I don't
every
remember.
Super Bowl. Every
la 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 la.
Every
la.
Super Bowl. Is,
Oh my gosh.
I mean, in all honesty, to lose like that, it's
difficult.
Yeah.
It is. It is. Heartbreaking.
And then
I don't
it's
know what's
over. Football season's over. I
yep,
always
baseball.
Like I guess I we're know. On to baseball. But
baseball.
That means, like, to me, the Super Bowl is even more like a signal that spring is coming than Groundhog's Day. Like, it's here. It's over.
What's next? Easter is our next big thing?
I guess,
oh, no,
Valentine's. Oh,
Valentine's.
That's
and
right.
Then,
Valentine's
and
is.
Then you're scaring me, Danny, with that noise.
Yeah,
I'm not sure what's happening.
Spring training.
Yep. Well, there's lots to talk about coming up, I can tell you that.
Yeah.
And Danny, that's a very good impression, I might add. Oh, Lady Gaga. What is the name of this, The Fame? Is that the name of this album that she did? Every cut she did, like, was like, oh my gosh, I love that song. It was
the
just
fame
it was a throwback.
The Fame was her first album.
Yeah. That's,
oh,
this,
it
that's
was
what,
with
yes.
Poker Face? I love that she did Poker Face. Like, that was her first.
It was amazing. You know she's Italian too, right?
Of course.
Yeah, because her name's Stephanie, I think, isn't
no,
it?
No, she's Italian. Yeah. She is. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. All right, everyone. We've got a great show coming up. We've got Dr. Brad Dieter. We've got Judy Schwartz, a very, very special guest, author of the book Water in Plain Sight, and Stephanie Toops. Stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Today, we're here to tell you about the success of Squatty Potty. Consumers are experiencing the healthful benefits from having the correct posture when eliminating the toxic and harmful fecal waste from their bodies. Now, Squatty Potty has made it portable. Introducing Porta-Squatty. Now you can experience the healthful benefits no matter where the road takes you. It easily folds up and fits into a discreet carrying bag the size of a book. Porta-Squatty. Available at Bed Bath Beyond, Amazon, or for an exclusive discount of 25% off your entire order, use code One Life at checkout at SquattyPotty.com.
Hi, this is Vaughn Eaglin. As a licensed professional counselor and supervisor, I spend my career helping people cope with emotional problems. But today, I want to talk to you about nutrition. People ask me all the time for nutrition and weight loss advice, and I always find myself recommending a raw vegan protein, a food supplement called Warrior Blend by Sun Warrior. I wasn't always active and fit. In fact, I was very overweight as a child. And as a counselor, I must emphasize the importance of the mind-body connection. A clean body helps with a clean mind. Start today with Sun Warrior Blend Raw Vegan Protein. For more information, go to sunwarrior.com and start living clean today.
Hi, this is Bernadette, here to tell you about the world's most trusted hemp extract, Charlotte's Web, by the Stanley Brothers. Charlotte's Web hemp oil contains naturally occurring antioxidants and neuroprotectants. This amazing product is hand-planted and grown using organic farming practices on Colorado family farms. CW has a variety of wellness applications and has achieved global recognition from media coverage of Little Charlotte's amazing success story. All I have to say is thank you, Charlotte's Web, for improving lives with natural Colorado wellness. Visit them at cwhemp.com. That's cwhemp.com. Charlotte's Web, the world's most trusted hemp extract.
Let me tell you a secret. Men get Botox to look younger too. Why? Because it works. But it works best when done correctly from an expert injector by a board-certified dermatologist like Dr. Lynn Roberts. Call Dr. Lynn Roberts today at 469-232-9300. That's 469-232-9300, or visit her at LynnRobertsMD.com.
You want to go down in it? You're in the right place. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Danny Miles, Lexi Brinkley, Stephanie Toops, and I've got Dr. Brad Dieter on the line. He is a certified sports nutritionist from the ISSN. He's a research scientist, nutrition coach, and aspiring Olympic weightlifter. He also runs the blog ScienceDrivenNutrition.com, which strives to bridge the gap between science and the public and to bring the best information in the industry straight to you. Hey, Brad. Dr. Brad Dieter, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fabulous. How are you?
I'm great. I'm great. It's a good day when you're alive, right? And feeling good.
You know what? Every day I wake up and I'm able to get out of bed. I count it as a win. So
absolutely, there's so many blessings, and you do have to be optimistic about life because life can drag you down sometimes. And I think that's part of one of the fitness myths here that we're talking about, debunking seven of the biggest fitness myths. I think that keeping a positive attitude is one of the number one things that you can do to keep your body, your mind, your spirit, and your life in a good place. So, what do you think about that?
Yeah, no, I think what I've worked with thousands of people at this point, and what really separates the people who get results long term are the people who are optimistic. Mm-hmm. And the people who, kind of take the long view of that it's just a journey and you can always make forward progress. So I think that's a huge piece to most of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I have this book, You Can Be an Optimist, Changing Your Thinking, Changing Your Life. And this really does go with fitness. It really does, because it's so, I think so many people think that, you know, a high level of fitness is almost unsurmountable, you know. But I'm going to read this out of there here, this book. I thought it was so good. It says optimistic attitudes. And so your attitude, okay, it goes with you everywhere you go. It is on display at work and at home. People make judgments about you based on it. It has no color, and it has no size, yet its impact on your life is profound. So what is it? It's your attitude. Don't you like that?
I like that, yeah.
I really like that. Yeah, it's so true.
It really, really is. And so I want to have a good attitude about working out, but I also want to debunk these 7 myths. So let's start with myth number one.
Myths. That's a tough one.
I have trouble with that word, Dr. Okay. Dieter, if you can't tell. Okay, so you can crunch your way to great abs. What do you say to that?
So you might be able to, but it's a very ineffective use of time. I think, you know, the crunch is one of those things that's probably minimally effective when you think about all the other ways that you can train your ab muscles, right? They do a lot more than just flex and that very narrow range of motion that you get from a crunch. So it's probably the least effective way to do it.
Well, you know what? My dad taught me this, actually. My mother was big on posture too, but my dad used to say, suck in your gut. You know, keep your gut tight and keep your shoulders back. You know, and he was in the Navy. Maybe that's where he got it from. Yeah. But I think when you engage your abs, even if you're like driving or like I'm sitting here right now. Okay?
Well, look at the chairs that we're sitting in.
Right.
They're very comfortable, but my posture right now, I'm slumped over.
Well, you see I'm on the edge of my chair. I always am.
Well, you're always at the edge of your seat.
I'm on the edge of my chair with my feet planted on the ground, and I try to keep my abs engaged and tight most of the time.
Yeah, you know, I think that's a big piece of it. You know, a lot of us just don't use them that often, except for when you're doing, you know, a few key exercises in the gym. Most of our daily lives don't require, you know, much use of those muscles.
Right.
You know, why in the heck you go into a gym and they still have those ab machines? Those are useless, aren't they?
I know what you're talking about, Daniel.
Yeah. Those are useless. If you don't do them right, they could be harmful to your back, can't they?
I was just going to go there, too.
For most people, they're neck bobbing exercises. That's usually how they end up being used.
Well, and your abdomen is so important. You know, Danny brought up the back. That's what I was going to bring up too. When your abdomen is nice and, you know, tight, you have less of a chance of a back injury. Do you not?
Yes, that's very true. Yeah, because a lot of times when you can't brace accurate or appropriately through your core, a lot of times your back muscles have to use. They basically carry a lot more of the load. And what most people don't realize is, you know, a lot of us think, you know, when you're carrying around weights or you're putting a heavy bar on your back when you're squatting, that's what loads your muscles the most, or your spine. It's actually the force from your muscles is, you know, 10 to 100 times greater than any amount of weight you can carry around.
You know, I want to make sure that we get through these myths, but real quickly,
too.
Is planking a good way to strengthen up those abs?
Yeah, absolutely.
I love planking. I haven't done that in a while. There was a planking craze going on a few years ago. Do you remember
maybe
that?
Maybe we should start that up again.
Let's start it up again. I'm going to plank my refrigerator tonight.
Plank you.
Combine two internet viral things and do a planking mannequin challenge.
Yeah, that's right.
There you go.
Oh, my gosh.
I love the next one.
I do, too. Cardio comes first. This is myth number two. Cardio comes first. So, Dr. Dieter, when should you do cardio and how much?
Well, I think it really depends on your goals. I mean, if you're somebody who wants to run a marathon, cardio probably should come first. If you're somebody who's, you know, trying to be, you know, more fit overall, lose some body fat, you know, look good naked, it's probably something that comes after you do a lot of your resistance training.
Well, myth number three I love because this is important. So many people injure their knees by not doing this when they're doing a squat. Don't squat. Don't squat past your toes. So what is the proper squat position, Dr. Dieter?
It's highly variable from each person, right? Our hip structure, the length of our femurs, the length of our tibia, how flexible our ankles are, you know, how long your spine is. All those different things dictate your squatting posture. So the proper squatting posture is the one that you can get into comfortably and is loaded correctly. So it really varies for each person. You know, some people, if they squat way over their toes, mm-hmm. it works a lot better. Some people have to sit back further. It's just all... It's all highly variable.
So what about squatting
on your potty?
Yeah. What about when you're, I used to see this, and I don't see this at all, in fact, but people will squat with a board underneath their heels, raised heels.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen that.
That's one of the ways to, like, work on people's progression. If you're somebody who's just starting out and you're trying to learn how to do body weight squats and you don't have the ankle flexibility and you're just trying to work on things, you can do that to kind of slowly work people into proper posture. But that's not something you should do, after you've been training for a long time.
Mm-hmm. And what about the deadlift? I love deadlifts. I feel like when I do them, I'm working my whole body. But is there anything that I should or we should be aware of when we do them?
Back.
Yeah, probably just, a lot of people bounce their deadlifts off the floor. It really should be, reset after each rep. I think that's one of the biggest mistakes we see.
Hmm. Okay, so myth number four is you need electrolytes after every workout, okay? So do you? And when do you really need those electrolytes, Dr. Dieter?
Most people probably don't. I think you need them when they're, extended training, training over an hour, or if you're in, a lot of heat and you're sweating a lot, that's probably when you need it. But, if you're kind of just going into the gym, lifting weights for an hour, kind of breaking a sweat, you don't need to pound the Gatorade or the Nun Tabs or anything like that after a workout.
The reason why I was chuckling is because every time I hear electrolytes, I think of the movie Idiocracy.
I've never seen it.
Idiocracy is just one
that's
of the...
That's a great movie.
It's a classic.
And it's perfect for this time. You need to watch that because
next one, stretching.
Okay.
Yes,
stretching. We've talked about stretching in the past.
Right,
it's
but
like,
they were talking about static stretching. So I'm not even sure I know what static stretching is, and it says that it's sacred. Is it?
So static stretching is where you just basically stretch and hold something. This is like your traditional hamstring stretch or things like that. It's definitely not sacred. I think a lot of people, it's not the most effective way for a lot of people to get warmed up and things like that. Doing things more dynamically, and that's probably the better way for 90% of people to warm up.
And you say dynamically, like that means getting your body moving, just using your muscles, getting blood pumping to them so they're prepared properly for heavy lifting or moving or whatever it is you're going to do.
Yep, exactly.
Okay. All right. So on this list of the seven biggest fitness myths, number six is if you're not sweating, you're not working hard.
I'm not a big sweater.
I'm not either. So tell us about that, Dr. Dieter. How do you know when you're working hard enough?
There's sweating is probably the worst metric to see whether you're working hard or not. I think there's, it really varies on what you would call working hard.
Mm-hmm.
You could be pulling a one rep max deadlift, you're probably not going to sweat, but you're going to be working your tail off. Or you could be, in a really hot gym kind of doing really low level stuff, but sweating a lot and you just because it's hot. So, sweating really isn't a very good metric. I think a lot of it is, exertion and perceived exertion, or at least decent ways to kind of gauge it.
Mm-hmm. And using different parts of your body. I remember when I first started working out with Tina Burnett, I could jump rope. I used to jump rope and run a lot earlier in my fitness career. And when I first came to her, I could still jump rope for about 40, 45 minutes without stopping. And it had quite a fast clip too, fast pace. And she said, that doesn't mean that you're fit. And so she just did some stuff with me that I'd never done before. And she kicked my rear end. And I don't even sweat when I can jump rope for 45 minutes and not even break a sweat. But some of the stuff she did with me, I was sweating within a matter of minutes. So a lot of it is what your body is conditioned to, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Fitness is such a general term. I mean, somebody who runs a marathon probably can't go out and, compete at a high level playing basketball, or somebody who's a power lifter probably can't go out and run a marathon. So fitness is just such a broad word, and there's so many different modalities and domains.
Which leads us to the last myth.
Yep.
You could run off your pounds.
Yeah, you can run off the pounds. Can you?
You can. It's just like the crunch. It's probably not the most effective way. I think for a lot of people, you know, running off the pounds. You're basically trying to outrun how much food you eat, and you kind of get to a point where you have to run such an absurd amount, and you're just not doing a lot of things that set you up for long-term, you know, sustainable results, where you're kind of optimizing your muscle tissue and your metabolism and things like that. So you probably can run off the pounds. You know, I think professional marathon runners are probably an example of that. But for the average person, it's probably not the most effective way to do it.
I've got a lot of running to do. I ate a lot of food last night. Dr. Dieter, thank you so much for coming on the show today. Always a pleasure.
Yep. All right. Thank you guys very much.
All right. That's Dr. Brad Dieter. You can find his blog at sciencedrivennutrition.com. That's sciencedrivennutrition.com. We have an amazing guest coming up. Stay tuned. Judy Schwartz. She is the author of the book, Water in Plain Sight. You're listening to One Life Radio.
From the Talk Radio 1190 Traffic Center, here's traffic.
We all know water is essential for life, but all water is not created equal. And here's what separates crazy water from the rest. Crazy water is as nature intended, with minerals and electrolytes infused by Mother Nature, not some factory. Have it shipped right to your house or find a retailer near you through their website at drinkcrazywater.com. That's drinkcrazywater.com. It's water as nature intended.
Give your body some soul with Sun Warrior's new Soul Good Protein Bars. Sun Warrior is committed to making the best plant-based proteins and superfood supplements from the finest organic ingredients across the globe. Soul Good Bars have an amazing profile. They have 17 to 19 grams of clean organic protein, very low sugar, and 16 to 17 grams of fiber. They're available in delicious flavors like Blueberry Blast, Coconut Cashew, Cinnamon Roll, and Salted Caramel. Check them out online at sunwarrior.com. That's sunwarrior.com. And give your adventure some soul.
Hey, this is Sean Wells of the International Society of Sports Nutrition. One Life Radio is proud to partner with the ISSN. The ISSN is the world's leading scientific organization dedicated to the science of supplements and sports nutrition. For their latest conferences and events, go to theissn.org. That's theissn.org.
Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Danny Miles, Lexi Brinkley, Stephanie Toops, and our very special guest today. We have Judy Schwartz on the line. I'm so excited to have you here, Judy. Let me read your bio. Judy is a longtime freelance writer with wide-ranging experience in books, magazines, newspapers, and their various web equivalents. Her book, Save the Cows, Save the Planet, gave her a chance to travel and speak to audiences all around the world about the soil's connection to climate change, biodiversity loss, floods, droughts, and wildfires, and human health. We are here with her today talking about her book, Water in Plain Sight, about the role of the water cycle. Judy has a BA from Brown University and a master's in science and journalism from the Columbia University. I have the stumbles here today. I'm sorry about that, Judy. Columbia University Graduate School of Journalism and a MA in Counseling Psychology from Northwestern. It's such a pleasure to have you here today. I'm truly honored that you're jumping on the air with us.
Oh, well, thank you.
Well, and, you know, I'll just start in with the questions, because I think there's so much that people need to know about the water that's in plain sight and hope for a thirsty world. So you say the amount of water on the planet remains fairly constant. Can you explain this?
Oh, goodness. Well, I think you just said it, that water exists in different forms. You know, there's liquid water, there's water vapor, and then there's frozen water. And water is an incredible thing because it is continually changing form. It is continually on the move, and it also transfers heat. So it's this wonderful substance that we often take for granted. And what got me into this book was I just believed, and this is borne out, that understanding how water works, how it moves across our landscapes and through the atmosphere, will once we understand that, then that will give us many opportunities to address challenges, that opportunities that aren't necessarily evident when we think of water as just this thing that sits there.
Yeah, and that's interesting. You say it transfers heat. I never really thought about it from that perspective, but it absolutely does. And what an amazing thing it is when water is warm, right? A nice hot bath, how wonderful it is.
That's true, too. And it also transfers heat really effectively when it's water vapor. And this is the kind of material that truly blew my mind as I was researching this book, because whenever, all the time, one thing that we don't know or don't really think about in terms of plants is that plants are always bringing water, like that water is always moving upward through plants. So you know if you walk in a forest, it's cool, partly because of the shade, but also there's this kind of, you know, balmy sense of like kind of, Well, there's moisture. That's because of all the trees that are transpiring, and that's a cooling mechanism. And we can work with this to help cool places that we want to keep cool.
Well, you talk about trees, and this is a question that I have for you. That you know, you talk about the commercialization of nature. Can we talk about that?
Wow. Yes, that's a really, really big question.
I know.
And I guess it's something I've thought about a lot, you know, that kind of, okay, so we've got this economy, all right, you know, the buying and selling of things, and then we've got nature, we've got the natural world, and the way that we in Western cultures, in our global economy, we tend to see nature as something that we can just take from. And so if we harm nature, that doesn't go on the balance books.
Yeah.
So just feeling that as we're recognizing the vulnerability of our natural systems and how hugely important they are, we need to bring their value into our understanding of economics and how we function as a society.
I think it's critical for our survival, don't you?
Absolutely,
human beings are healed through the energy with the help of nature. It's essential to our well-being and our existence.
Right, because all wealth really comes from natural systems. And we can take that even a step further, and it might sound a little sciencey, but all wealth derives from photosynthesis. Okay,
yeah.
That's how plants grow, and that's how we grow food, and that's how we feed animals, and that's how we build soil, and that's how minerals come to accumulate, and all of that.
Well, you know, you asked the question in your book, is the condition that we call a drought something other than the absence of rain? So do people in water-challenged areas have options more promising than praying for rain or piling up sandbags? What is your answer to this?
Well, I would say that they absolutely do. And this, I feel, is one of the main misconceptions that inspired me to explore this topic, in that when we think about water challenges like water scarcity, we tend to discuss this in terms of what does or doesn't come down from the sky. But actually, what happens when rain hits the ground is so important, because so that really comes down to how are we managing land? Do we have rich soil that holds on to water, or have we denuded our landscapes and they're degraded so that water no longer soaks in to nurture life, but plant and microbial and animal life, but rather just runs off. So there are places where they're in a state of drought, no matter how much water they get. And conversely, with really effective water management, then you can make use of the water that comes down. Just as an example, even in the lowest rainfall year, which is 2013 in Southern California, in Los Angeles, at least 3,000 gallons of water per person was wasted. By wasted, I mean it was not collected. It was not harvested either through various means of water harvesting or held on the land. So So there's a lot we can do.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about the, I know in the book you talk about homeowners in California minimizing their nuisance flow. What is that, and how can all of us help?
Okay, so there's a really interesting fellow who named Brad Lancaster who does a lot with rainwater harvesting. And what he talks about, all that kind of the water in our built environments that, you know, the rain that then picks up pollutants on parking lots and all that, he calls it urban drool.
Ah.
So there are lots of ways that we can deal with that. One is by minimizing the impervious surfaces in our urban landscapes.
Mm-hmm.
So that can be as simple as having, like, broader, like, planted areas. Like, rather than a parking lot the way we currently construe them, we can have strips of vegetation that are taking up water. One thing that they do in Tucson, thanks to Lancaster's efforts, is that they are able to cut curbs, like literally cut the curbs on the street, so that the water flows into an area where they have trees growing.
Oh, wow.
That's interesting.
Yeah, so then,
that is.
So then you get all these benefits. You get the shade, you get the trees, you can... you get the cooling of the trees, that micro environment, and also often the trees are growing food. So,
wow, it's all connected, isn't it? It's so all connected. Well, we're almost out of time, but I do want to ask you this one question, and this is such an extensive subject. I hope that you'll consider coming back because we really need to educate America about how precious water is and how we can all help. But how important of a role do animals play in the soil and in the water?
Wow. Animals play a huge role in our natural environment that we don't see because most of us live in areas that are disconnected. So it's important to understand that in natural environments, plants were managed by grazing animals, plant-eating animals, and those animals in turn were managed by predators, and we've completely disrupted this dynamic. And so that management void can be filled by people who bring an understanding of natural ecology and how these dynamics worked and how animals move across the landscape and how that contributes to the growth of plants, particularly on grasslands.
Mm-hmm.
Once we understand that and bring that to bear on our management, then we can really restore a lot of large-scale environments.
Judy, thank you so much for coming on the show today. Really enjoyed listening to, and I love your book. I do, and I love your other book, Cows Save the Planet. I got both of mine at Natural Grocers. They have the best books there.
Yeah, those are great. I'm gonna have to read both of those.
Yeah, and it's so such a pleasure to be speaking with you. Thank you so much, Judy.
Okay.
That's Judy
My
Schwartz.
Pleasure too.
All right. You can get her book, Water in Plain Sight. I'm sure Amazon.com has it. And Cows Save the Planet. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Did you know that hemp has been used for a variety of wellness needs for thousands of years? And now, thanks to the Stanley Brothers in Colorado, you can now get Charlotte's Web, the most trusted whole plant hemp extract in the world. Charlotte's Web is a proprietary whole plant hemp extract that contains all of the beneficial and naturally occurring antioxidants and neuroprotectants. In fact, in 2003, the federal government recognized the beneficial effects on human health and obtained a U.S. patent titled Cannabinoids and Antioxidants. For more information and to get educated about Charlotte's Web, visit CWHemp.com. That's CWHemp.com, the world's most trusted hemp extract.
Call us crazy. We don't mind. Crazy Water's all-natural mineral water has been making people feel good inside and out since 1881. As the only mineral water bottled in Texas, their water boasts loads of benefits that other bottled waters can only envy. Pretty crazy, huh? Find it at your local Whole Foods, HEB, Central Market, or have it shipped right to your door. Visit them at drinkcrazywater.com. That's drinkcrazywater.com.
Are you tired of ho-hum parties? Do people yawn in your backyard? Need to draw attention to your business or set the mood at your restaurant? Lights aren't just for Christmas. They make all your outdoor spaces and celebrations sparkle. Our customers have found the perfect lights to add twinkle to their special occasions for over 10 years. See everything you'll need to light up your life at Christmas Light Source. You can find us at ChristmasLightSource.com. That's ChristmasLightSource.com.
Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette. I've got Danny Miles, Lexi Brinkley, and Stephanie Toops here in studio with me today. And we're going to be talking about coconut oil pulling. But before we do, I want to give a shout out to our sponsors because they make the rocket go up. And making jokes earlier about Squatty Potty. But the Squatty Potty, seriously, for anybody out there that doesn't have one, it's a game changer. It really, really is. Proper elimination cannot be underestimated. And, you know, it's not a weird thing. It's just like this little plastic device, like a little, you know.
It's like a little step stool kind
of,
right?
Yeah, Almost. You could put it somewhere in your house and people would just think it's a step stool.
Yeah.
And, but it conceals nicely under the toilet, but it's a total game changer. So if you don't have a Squatty Potty, get one. And my next sponsor, Crazy Water. I've got my bottle here. It's so important to get minerals, not just for your body, but for your brain. That's where the name Crazy Water came from, because this crazy woman went through mineral wells and she was really, really crazy. And after she was there for a while, she wasn't. And they said it was because of the water. She was getting all the minerals that she wasn't getting before.
Yes. What a cool story.
Yeah. No, it's a true story. It is. And it's right here in Texas. And then we have Sun Warrior. What a great company. One of the original founders of the raw vegan protein. But even if you're not a vegan, it doesn't matter. You got to give your body a break sometime and put some natural, you know, raw nutrients in your body. And Sun Warrior is such a great company. Great tasting products. Their mocha is my favorite. But check it out. They also have great vitamins that I have. My oldest daughter couldn't take vitamins for the longest time. And when she took the Sun Warrior vitamins, those are the only ones she's ever taken that didn't upset her stomach.
Oh, that's great.
And so I'm happy for that. And then I am forgetting someone again.
Charlotte's Web.
Charlotte's Web by the Stanley Brothers. Okay. And we're getting ready to record a spot here after the show about their newest product. That's a dog product. So if you've got an older dog or just a dog that you want to chill out, it's non-psychoactive. But I can tell you, I gave it to my Zeusie boy, who I just finished writing my blog. It took me 4 hours to get through that story about the pit bull.
Yeah.
Nelson. It's going to be up on the website a little bit later today.
To read that.
But it took me forever, and I had writer's block because of it. So I finished it up yesterday before the big game, and it's going to be out, and it tells a story about my wonderful little Nelson. And so I encourage everyone to read it. But the Charlotte's Web by the Stanley Brothers, the hemp extract is what has helped my dog Zeus just bring back some of his vibrance. He's not galloping like a horse, but he's lost weight, and he's also moving around more. That's why he's lost weight. He's feeling better.
That's
so
great.
Not so much body pain. All right. So you guys have both done this. I have not. Okay. Coconut oil pulling. I have heard about this for several years, and I've never done it. Tell us, Stephanie. Stephanie is a consumer advocate now, not just a certified public accountant and a bachelor of business administration, an accounting and master's in science degree in finance from Texas A&M. She is all over the place, this
jack
girl.
Jack of all trades.
And you are a jack of all trades. And she's a accomplished photographer as well. But anything that she says, I know it's legit. She's checked it out. And so we're going to be talking about coconut oil pulling. Tell us all about it.
So this kind of dates back to, so toothbrushes were not invented until the 1930s. And so, or with the, you know, conventional nylon toothbrushes as we know them were not around until the 1930s. So you think to your, you know, how did people clean their teeth and how did they?
These leaves and stuff?
Well, a couple different ways. They had like teeth sticks. So they would clean their teeth with sticks. But then they also did a lot of this oil pulling, kind of depending upon where they were in the world. Because, I mean, conventional research shows us that, you know, they maintain their teeth well into their to their late lives. So oil pulling is one of those things that's kind of made a comeback in recent years as health has become sort of more
holistic and alternative.
Right. So
well, they put so many chemicals in toothpaste.
Right. So yeah, we talked
so
about
so important that you get natural toothpaste and mouthwash.
They've taken triclosan out of our antibacterial soaps, but you're still going to find it in toothpaste because they haven't removed it from that. So definitely, when you're looking at that, that's an ingredient that we've deemed not healthy enough to use on our skin, but we're going to put it in our mouths. So.
And it's destroying our water system.
Yes,
that chemical is destroying the algae that we need in order to survive in the planet. I wish I would have thought about that. Talk about to Judy about it. But okay, so continue on. So what is pulling and what are the benefits?
Okay, so oil pulling. So the way that you do it is you take like a tablespoon of coconut oil and you put it in your mouth and you swish for about 10 to 20 minutes. So when I do it, I try to do 15 minutes. The hard part is that that's a really long time when you're doing this. It feels really, really long.
I got a feeling I would gag.
Yeah. By the end of it, was your mouth pretty full? I mean, like your mouth.
Did you do it today?
I did it on Saturday for the first time.
Okay.
And I couldn't last the 20 minutes. I did it for like 5 minutes.
Well, don't you start salivating too?
And so you start with this. So you put, I put solid. Like, did you put solid?
Solid.
Or did you
melt it was hard for me to melt it. I was like wanting to spit it out so bad.
Yeah, you put a solid tablespoon of coconut oil in your mouth.
Okay.
And then it melts pretty quickly, you know, because it melts, you know, pretty quickly.
Well, and it's healthy to swallow it, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Well, no, not once you've started swishing, you don't want to swallow it.
You don't want to swish and swallow?
So the way that
you
it
works. You want to swish and spit?
No, you want to spit. And you want to spit in the trash can. You don't want to spit it in the sink because
it'll harden.
You can harden and clog your sink that way. So you don't want to spit in the trash can. But basically what it's called pulling. And so what it does is it pulls all of the bacteria out of your gums and out of your teeth. And so that 15, 20 minutes that you're swishing this around in your mouth, you are pulling all of those bacteria out into the oil. So that's why you don't want to swallow it because it's kind of nasty.
Nasty. Okay. Yeah. Well, and I read that you can get rid of cavities by doing this.
Yes. It can. I mean,
it
some
seems
people,
too good to be true because cavities are so time consuming, painful, expensive, you know?
Yeah.
And so this is because a cavity is nothing more than bacteria, correct?
Right. The beginning of a cavity. So yeah, it can halt that. So there's a bunch of different. So let me just read like the benefits.
Okay.
Of it. It can, it can stop tooth decay. It kills bad breath. It heals bleeding gums. It prevents heart disease. It reduces inflammation in the gums. Whitens teeth. Soothes throat dryness, prevents cavities, heals cracked lips, boosts your immune system, improves acne, and strengthens your gums and jaws. So there's this whole school of thought that really believes that your teeth can tell the health of your body by, you know, how your teeth are.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I'm surprised the government hasn't tried to take control of coconut.
Right? I mean, and coconut oil is one of those things that everybody is, is like a, you know, miracle.
It is. And cold pressed, I think of Bruce Fife. He's been on the show before. He's written, I don't know how, just like tons of books about coconut oil. And they say that it can even help with alcoholism, that you can cure yourself of, and you can't say cure, so you can fix alcoholism by consuming,
coconut oil.
It's like a tablespoon a day something.
Yeah, it was a story that was done. Dr. Bruce Fife reported on it, and it was fascinating to me. And like I said, I'm surprised the government hasn't taken control of the coconut industry.
Well, it was really interesting because I asked, after I did this, I went and got my teeth cleaned and I talked to my my dental hygienist, and she was Vietnamese. And so I was asking her about it. And she said, you know, it's so funny that, you know, the Western world is just now learning about all of the benefits of coconuts and coconut oil because that, you know, I mean, they just have it everywhere on their, you know, in their just environment. And so she's like, we, you know, use it on our skin. We use it on our hair. We use it for teeth. I mean, it was just something that we're all just becoming really enamored with now. She just grew up with.
And well, and it's such really, a good bargain.
Yeah.
For what you're getting.
Cheap,
I mean, even if the price right now, I think it's like for one of those tubs around $20 for organic.
Yeah.
The price has come up considerably.
Yeah.
But for organic, it's about $20. And they also sell it at Sam's and at Costco.
How often should you coconut pull? Like,
well, you could do it daily.
Daily?
Yeah, you can do it daily.
I don't know if I could do it daily. That's a long time.
How long did you last?
Like 5 minutes.
5 minutes?
Yeah. Okay. So I probably didn't get the full process done.
But by the time, I mean, like your mouth is really pretty full of saliva by the time you're done. And so it's pretty full and you're pretty ready to spit it out. But it's a really interesting sort of practice. And people that do it love it.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to pull tonight.
Do it.
I can't wait to hear what you think.
Danny, you going to pull tonight?
I'm just leaving the whole pulling, spitting, and swallowing all to you guys.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my gosh.
I know,
yeah.
That was a target-rich sort of spot there. I'm surprised we didn't hear anything out of you.
Oh, my gosh. And get the cold press, because I heard that it's healthier.
Oh, mm-hmm. I didn't even know that, so that's great.
That's what I heard.
Yeah, cold pressed. All right.
Through the coconut vine.
Well, great. Well, I'll be looking forward to hearing from you tonight, Bernadette. I'd like to hear how this
Danny,
goes
don't
for
shake
you.
Yeah. Your head at me. You're just jealous because
you're
not as funny.
So,
Bernadette,
no.
You could do it and just, like, dance. While you're doing it.
Oh, there you go. Doing there
you
it.
I'll pull
just
and dance.
Don't swallow.
Or pull and get on your bike.
Instead of the bend and snap, I'll do the pull and dance.
Yeah, there you go.
Just be happy I did not chime in.
Oh, my gosh, everyone. You know what? I love doing this show. Thank you so much for listening. Stephanie, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me. Great to be here.
All right, everyone. You know what? You get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there today and make the most of it.